Good morning. Welcome to worship on this first Sunday of the Advent season. We'll be having our lessons and carols this evening, and so musicians and the handbell choir ensemble pieces are set up for that. But I want to welcome you to worship now and remind you that we begin by preparing our hearts and minds through our brief order of confession and forgiveness. And I also want to say welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home and to those who are at the Springs. Please stand as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who comes to wake us from sleep, who leads us into the light of grace. Amen. Let us prepare the way of the Lord by confessing our sin against God and neighbor. God of grace and mercy, we confess that we have not prepared for your merciful reign among us. We ignore our neighbors in need and fail in the labor of justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your light and to seek the things that will endure until Christ comes again in glory. Amen. Comfort, O comfort my people, says our God. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and all things are made new. Rejoice in this good news. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we sing together. Light one candle, we'll sing stanza one.
First reading is from Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Amen. give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Christ, Redeemer of us all, we pray you hear us when we call.
When this whole world through our long dark toils night, you came at night in splendor bright, not as a minor but a child.
Your great name, O Jesus, now our knees must bend, our hearts must bow, all things on earth with one accord, like those in heaven shall call you.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as you see its branch become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he might find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Our focus verse of our meditation today says, beware, or maybe easier, look, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. That phrase, keep alert, keep watch, keep awake, can be translated a few different ways. It comes up three times in this reading. If you were to start at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, there's a few more, or in the chapter 13 of Mark, it would go a few more times yet. Clearly an emphasis. But I wonder, how often have we thought about what it looks like to watch, to keep awake? What are we watching for? What are we keeping alert and awake to? I think, of course, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, of course, we're watching for Jesus to come back. After all, it says we don't know when it will be, and we should not be asleep. It might be any part of the day. So, let's watch. And the purpose seems to be, let's ensure we don't miss Jesus' return. And, of course, there's some pretty good reasons to think that. Our focus verse today has that. You don't know when the time will come. So, seemingly, let's not dawdle. Stay awake. Let's not let what is unknown and what is completely unpredictable sneak up on us. Or we might say, let's make what is unknown become a little more known. Sometimes I think when we hear this stay awake and watch, it's if we're planning to simply kind of stare at the sky and waiting for Jesus to return, because after all, if it's unpredictable, that's all basically we could do. The whole point, though, is we aren't gonna know. But what if, instead of thinking about it that way, what if this ignorance, what we don't know, isn't a problem, but is instead an asset? What if staying awake is not simply about looking for Jesus to be coming back, but looking around where we are? That the phrase, for you do not know when the time will come, might be meant not as a warning, but as a liberation. Don't focus on what you can't focus on. It's not always great to know, after all, what you can't control. And to provide an example of that, I want to tell a story. It wasn't something that happened to me. It was a friend of mine in North Idaho named Luke. And he liked playing handball at the local health club. And on their They had like a league night or something where I didn't play. So they had something where they went, and he went down, and one time he played someone he'd not met before, which was really not all that unusual. And this guy was really, really good. And Luke tried hard and he played well and it was competitive, but Luke definitely lost. And at the end, they respected each other, had a nice little conversation and left. And then when he got done, someone of his friends ran up to him and said, "Do you know who you just played?" He said, "Yeah, sure." He said his name was Jake. He said, "No, that was Jake Plummer." And he still looked kind of, you know, okay, well, 2 years ago, he was the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos before he retired, and retired here in Sandpoint. Luke was pretty surprised. When he was telling us the story the next day, he said, "You know, frankly, I'm so glad no one told me, because I would have been so intimidated the whole time. But as it was, this was just Jake. We were just playing a game." And I tell that story because I think we assume that when it says, "For you don't know when the time will come," means that therefore we need to be awake as much as possible so we can kind of know when the time will come. Which is, of course, ridiculous. Instead, what I'd like to think is one possible way of thinking differently about what we're watching for. And here I think we can be invited more carefully in what Jesus is saying. Notice what is described. Not watching up in the heavens for Jesus to pop through. It's looking at the world around us. The sun, the moon, the stars. And right before this passage, at the beginning of Mark 13, it talks about seeing false messiahs, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, persecution, and just enmity between one another. What are we being alert to? The world around us. And all that conversation leads us to the world around us not acting the way we would expect. Something new is at hand. In fact, this whole dialogue started up at the very beginning of chapter 13 with the disciples being there at the temple, being impressed by what it looked like. Jesus replies that this temple, like everything in the world, isn't permanent. Instead, it will fall as all things will. And Jesus goes as far as to say, heaven and earth will pass away. And here, I don't think Jesus is speaking only of what will happen when he returns, but instead a present reality for what is happening already right now. Heaven and earth are changing. It's a process of dying and rebirth all the time. And what we thought we knew about the world is radically new and different. And I know many of you can feel that way, seeing the world and our society and not recognizing some aspects of what's happening. Because our world changes so quickly and we struggle to keep up. That might be part of what Jesus is saying here. Heaven and earth passing away before us. So then it leads to this question of staying alert, keeping awake. And maybe it has less to do with being alert to what we can't know when Jesus comes, because the description is pretty clear. You're not going to miss it when Jesus comes. But a lot more to do with how we're alert to the world around us and the people around us. But of course, being aware of the world around us is not always a very pretty picture. There are moments, of course, of wonderful grace and mercy, but there's also moments of some pretty terrible ways people treat other people. We see it every day on national, international news that I don't need to describe, but I think we feel it even more deeply in our own lives. As we struggle ourselves and are in conflict, often with people we love the most. As we enter into holidays, sometimes those family wounds open more robustly than at any other time. We can feel that pain, the result of what Paul called this present evil age, the sinfulness and the death that we live in. Jesus says at that, stay awake. And I submit that was what we're being alert to. The world around us, the broken world around us, heaven and earth seemingly passing away before our eyes, everything we thought we know, even to those dearest to us, changing abruptly, sometimes in very good ways, but other times in very hard ways. Sometimes we need to wake up to that. Wake up to the fact that the world around us isn't as it always was, and we can't continue trying to make it the same. Other times, of course, it's the opposite. Sometimes we are really good at seeing the darkness, the danger of the world. We're Lutherans, after all. Here also, we're called to wake up. Because of the second half of that verse, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Even though this world is broken, God's love persists anyway. We could see the presence of God in this world right now in many ways, but including in one another. In the moments of incredible grace and generosity, they're a part of this world too. Because no matter how much our sinfulness leads us astray, no matter how much our heaven and our earth pass away, the word of God will not pass away. Be awake to that too. We are ignorant of when Jesus will return, but rather that being a charge for us to work hard and focus solely watching for Jesus, let the fact that we don't know be a freedom to dare to go and see the world around us for what it really is, both good and bad. And I think we can have the boldness to do that because this passage has an awful lot of hope and grace in it. It does say that Jesus will return and that the evil we face in a very real way will be destroyed. But in this meantime, what does it mean to be watching now? Well, there was a little verse, I don't know if you noticed, in the midst of everything else, saying, then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Notice he didn't talk about everybody being in one worship site, being ready for Jesus. Instead, they were awake to the world around them at every corner of the earth. And from there, from wherever they are, God gathers them. That's the grace here. We could be alert and awake to the problems of the world around us, or indeed in our own lives, because we can have the hope of knowing Christ who gathers us in. The words of Christ will never pass away for us. So we don't know when the time will come, but we really don't need to, because we trust Christ knows. That's the hope that we have in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. With the whole church throughout the ages, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. With hope, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration. Holy God, call your church into holy fellowship as we await the restoration of all things. Re-energize your faithful people to live with hope and compassion. Center us on your promise to come among us and make all things new. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All creation signals your presence, O God. The vastness of the cosmos, the turn of the seasons, and living things that both rest and flourish. Rekindle our commitment to care for the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let the nations tremble at your holy presence, that justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Restore peace to nations in conflict. Teach righteousness to corrupt leaders and systems. And bring stability to areas facing uncertain futures. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Enrich the spirits of all who feel hopeless, fearful, or despairing. Stay close to those who await healing or relief. Comfort the sick, the injured, and those in recovery. Deliver all in any need. We pray especially this day for Carlin and Larry Campbell, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Dal and Gay Haverland, Jody and Doug Martin, Morgan McCrory, Marnie Reinmuth, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, Marilee and Larry Sutton, Shirley Watson. For whom else or what else do the people pray? All these we've named aloud, those held in our hearts, and those known only to you we lift before you this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have sent out your angels and gathered your faithful people from every time and place, calling them into one fellowship of saints. Bless the witness of those who now dwell in your eternal presence. Comfort all of us who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to stand up and share that peace with one another and wave to those joining us from home. Peace of the Lord to them as well.
I'm going to invite you to be seated. We jumped ahead, and I want to make sure that we bring the offering forward. I know Evan is going to bring us some of the items for fish, and I'll make a few announcements now of our life together. Following this service, there Pastor Ben will be teaching a class in the library, and I invite you to join him in the library for that class. You can grab a cup of coffee first and then bring that to the class as well. We again want to remind you that the Lessons and Carols service is tonight at 4 o'clock, and so, or 4:30, excuse me, 4:30 this evening, and then soup supper following, so invite you to come and enjoy the music of the season and hear the readings, filling our hearts with joy for this Advent season. I also want to bring your attention to the fact that we do offer individual prayer following this service on the first Sunday of the month. And so if you'd like, you can join a prayer minister in the chapel for individual prayer. With those announcements, and I'm looking for Evan, if he would start coming forward with the offering, that would be great. I'm seeing Papa helping. So this offering is for fish, Friends in Service to Humanity. And each week we're adding to our, at the foot of the altar here to show the gifts that are being brought. Fish is a long beloved ministry of Central Lutheran Church along with 16 other churches. Steve and Norma Edmond. It's so heavy you can hardly carry it, huh? I can see you struggling. It's so full. The fish box is getting full, and all those food items and hygiene items go to people who in our community who are in need. Evan, you can just build a pyramid up here in front of the altar for us. Yeah, thank you. So FISH is an all-volunteer organization helping people in our community in need with propane and prescription medication needs and also food items. So encourage you to be generous. Next Sunday we will be receiving a special offering for FISH, and you can make a donation to that if you so choose. As we now go forward in our service, I invite you to stand for our offertory prayer. Let us pray. By your merciful hand, abundance springs up from the earth, O God. Receive and bless these gifts of your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but may have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and today we will be doing something a little different. As soon as the worship leaders are in place, we'll invite you to either come forward and kneel at the altar rail or stand, or else receive communion from a floor station. So if you prefer not to have to navigate steps, you can receive communion from Pastor Ben at the foot of the chancel steps. Just make your way to the left or right accordingly, and we trust that Christ is in this meal present with us, and it is Christ who bids you come. Please stand. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you come to us in the broken bread and the cup we share. Make us ready always to welcome Christ into our hearts and send us forth to be your people in the world, announcing your coming among us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated, and before the benediction, I'd like to invite the Eucharistic ministers that are here today to come forward. See, Marla and Gary, I believe, if you'd come forward. I also want to announce that Gary and Kelly Brown are at the Springs. They're two Eucharistic ministers that share communion at the Springs each week. And so I just want to acknowledge that as we gather here for communion, we also have those at the Springs receiving communion as well. So we're delighted for that. I'll give you your kits here. And we are going to send you out again to bring this meal to our friends and members at home. Please know that having consecrated the elements of bread and wine, we want to give thanks and praise to God for both of you and for Kelly and Gary. We ask that God will guide you in your serving so that our brothers and sisters in Christ who receive this gift of Holy Communion may also be strengthened for their journey and kept in God's grace. Let us pray. God of all life and all good, bless your servants and those whom they serve. Make your presence known in your Holy Supper, so that all who share in this meal may be fed and nourished with the bread and life and drink from the cup of salvation. All this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And now, if you'll all stand as together we receive the benediction. The God of peace bless you, the love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is People Look East. Go in peace. Prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God.